Twilight descended over the Seattle skyline as Melly Carter stood at her apartment window, watching the city lights flicker to life like earthbound stars. 3 months had passed since she'd discovered her mate, her husband, her alpha, her everything, in their bed with another woman. Not just any woman. Her cousin. The betrayal had severed their mate bond, leaving a hollow ache where their connection had once thrummed with life. She pressed her palm against the cool glass. Inside her, the wolf whimpered, still mourning the loss of its other half. The rational part of Melly knew that mate bonds weren't supposed to break. They were sacred, eternal, woven into the fabric of shifter existence since the beginning of time. But somehow, Chaska had managed to shatter theirs. Her phone vibrated on the counter. Another text from Eliza, her best friend. Pack gathering tonight. You've been hiding long enough. Come. Melly sighed. The Moon Ridge Pack had been her family since birth, but she'd avoided them since the separation. How could she face them when the shame of rejection clouded her every step? Her former status as Luna, mate to the Alpha, now replaced with pitying glances and whispered gossip. Her fingers hovered over the screen before tapping a quick reply. Not ready. Soon. The lie tasted bitter. She wasn't sure she'd ever be ready. A knock at the door startled her from her thoughts. Melly tensed, inhaling deeply. Cedar and sage, with undertones of winter frost. Her heart stuttered. "Go away, Chaska," she called, voice steadier than she felt. "5 minutes, Mel," came his deep reply, the familiar voice sending unwelcome shivers down her spine. "Pack business. Nothing more." She hesitated, then crossed to the door, opening it just enough to see him. The sight of him, tall, broad-shouldered, with those piercing amber eyes, made her wolf stir with longing. Damn biology. "Whatever you have to say, say it quickly," she said coldly. Chaska Blackwood, alpha of the Moon Ridge Pack, looked haggard. Dark circles shadowed his eyes, and his usually meticulously groomed appearance seemed neglected. "Good," a vindictive part of her thought. "There's trouble brewing with the Silverclaw Pack to the north," he said without preamble. "Their new alpha, Damien, is challenging our territorial boundaries. He's specifically asking about you." Melly frowned. "Me? Why would he care about an ex-Luna?" Something flashed in Chaska's eyes. "That's what I intend to find out. But I need you at the council meeting tomorrow night. As a Moon Ridge-born wolf, your presence lends legitimacy to our claim on the disputed territories." "Politics?" Melly laughed humorlessly. "That's what you came here for?" "This is serious, Mel. Damien's been recruiting rogues, building a force. There are rumors he's experimenting with old magic, blood rituals to enhance power." A chill ran through her. Blood magic was forbidden among shifters, considered a corruption of their natural gifts. "Fine, I'll come to the meeting, but that's all." Chaska nodded, relief visible in the slight relaxation of his shoulders. He started to reach for her, then caught himself. "Thank you." As he turned to leave, she blurted out the question that had been haunting her for months. "Why her, Chaska? Of all people, why Nadia?" He stopped, his back to her, shoulders rigid. The silence stretched between them, heavy with unspoken words. "It wasn't what you think," he finally said, voice barely audible. "What exactly should I think when I find my mate in bed with my cousin?" The anger rushed back, hot and fierce. He turned, his expression raw with an emotion she couldn't name. "There are things you don't understand, Melly. Things I can't explain. Yet." "Then don't." She slammed the door, leaning against it as tears threatened to spill. Through the wood, she heard his quiet words. "I never stop loving you. That's the truest thing I know." His footsteps receded down the hallway, leaving her alone with her thoughts. That night, unable to sleep, Melly found herself driving toward the Olympic National Forest, where the Moon Ridge Pack held their ancestral lands. The pull was instinctive, her wolf guiding her home despite her human resistance. She parked at a secluded trailhead and stepped into the forest. Here, away from the city's clamor, her senses sharpened. The scent of pine and loam filled her nostrils as she stripped off her clothes, folding them neatly beside a fallen log. The shift came easily. One moment she was human. The next, a sleek gray wolf with distinctive white markings stood in her place. She lifted her muzzle to the waxing moon and released a mournful howl before darting between the trees. Running as wolf had always been her solace. Tonight was no different as she followed ancient trails deeper into pack territory. Hours passed as she lost herself in primal freedom until she found herself in a clearing she didn't recognize. Stone monoliths formed a rough circle, each carved with symbols that seemed to glow faintly in the moonlight. The air hummed with energy that made her fur stand on end. This place wasn't on any pack maps she knew. You found the ancestors. Circle. Few do anymore. The voice startled her. Melly whirled, growling, to see an elderly woman sitting on one of the fallen stones. Instinctively, Melly shifted back to human form, unconcerned with her nudity. Shifters had long ago abandoned such modesty among their kind. "Who are you?" Melly demanded, reaching for the power of her wolf in case she needed to defend herself. The woman smiled, her face a map of wrinkles around surprisingly youthful eyes that glowed with a hint of amber, the mark of a shifter. "I am Kiona, once Luna of this pack, now keeper of the old ways." She gestured to the stones around them. "This place remembers what your generation has forgotten." Melly approached cautiously. "I've lived on these lands my entire life. How have I never found this place?" "It reveals itself only to those who need its wisdom," Kiona replied enigmatically. "You seek healing for a broken bond." It wasn't a question. Melly crossed her arms over her chest, suddenly feeling vulnerable. "That's not possible. Once broken, mate bonds can't be repaired. Everyone knows that." Kiona's laugh was like dry leaves rustling. "What everyone knows is not always what is true. The old stories tell of bonds tested, broken, and reforged stronger than before." Hope fluttered in Melly's chest before she ruthlessly crushed it. "Even if that were possible, I wouldn't want it. Not after what he did." "Are you certain you know what he did?" Kiona asked, her gaze uncomfortably penetrating. "Or only what you saw?" "I know what I saw," Melly snapped. "Sometimes our eyes deceive us when our hearts are involved." Kiona rose with surprising grace for one who appeared so ancient. "The Silver Claws and the Moon Ridge have history that runs deeper than territorial disputes. Blood debts, ancient promises, betrayals that echo through generations. What does that have to do with me? With Chaska's infidelity?" "Everything is connected," Kiona said, circling Melly slowly. "Your grandmother, Ilara, carried secrets to her grave. Secrets that affect you now." Melly stiffened. Her grandmother had died when she was just a child, leaving behind only fragmented memories and a silver pendant Melly still wore around her neck. As if reading her thoughts, Kiona's gaze fixed on the pendant. "That necklace is more than a family heirloom. It's a key." "A key to what?" "To the truth." Kiona reached out, touching the pendant with one gnarled finger. The silver seemed to warm against Melly's skin. "When you're ready to know, return here under the full moon. Bring the necklace, and prepare yourself for truths that may hurt more than the lies you've believed." Before Melly could respond, a howl cut through the night, urgent, alarming. A summoning from the pack. "Go," Kiona urged. "Your past can wait. The present demands attention." Melly hesitated, torn between the mystery before her and the call of her pack. "The Silver Claws move tonight. Kiona added ominously. Blood will be spilled before dawn. Without another word, Melly shifted back to wolf form and raced toward the sound of the alarm. Questions about Kiona, her grandmother's secrets, and Chaska's cryptic words would have to wait. As she ran, one thought crystallized in her mind. Something much bigger than a mate's betrayal was unfolding, and somehow, she stood at its center. The howls grew more frequent, more desperate. The pack was under attack. Vengeance for Chaska's betrayal would have to wait. Tonight, she ran to protect those she still called family, even if that meant fighting alongside the man who had broken her heart. Chaos erupted across the Moonridge compound as Melly arrived. Shifters in various stages of transformation scrambled to defensive positions while others hurried children and elders to the safety bunkers beneath the main lodge. The acrid smell of blood tinged the night air. Melly! Eliza spotted her, rushing over with a blanket. Melly shifted back to human form, gratefully accepting the covering. Thank the moon goddess you're here. The Silver Claws breached the northern perimeter 10 minutes ago. How many? Melly asked, already moving toward the armory with her friend. At least 30, maybe more, Eliza replied grimly. They've got rogues with them. Vicious fighters with nothing to lose. Inside the armory, Melly grabbed clothes and the silver-infused daggers that could slow a shifter's healing abilities. Where's Chaska? Leading the eastern flank. They're trying to split our forces. A tactical move. Smart. Melly frowned as she dressed quickly. This isn't a territorial dispute. It's too coordinated. It's an assassination attempt, came a deep voice from the doorway. Melly looked up to see Talon, Chaska's beta and closest friend since childhood. Blood streaked his face from a rapidly healing cut. They're after you and Chaska. Me? Why would... An explosion rocked the building, cutting her off. The three of them ducked instinctively. Questions later, Talon growled. Right now, we need to get you to safety. Melly straightened, eyes flashing. I'm not hiding while my pack fights. For once, could you not argue? Talon snapped. Chaska's orders. I don't take orders from him anymore, she replied coldly, strapping the daggers to her thighs. Talon grabbed her arm. Listen to me. This attack is about you. Damien Silverclaw has been obsessed with you since the last Interpack summit. When word spread that your mate bond with Chaska was broken. He thinks I'm available, Melly finished, disgust evident in her voice. Territorial in more ways than one. It's more complicated than that, Talon said, his expression troubled. There's an old prophecy. Another explosion, closer this time, sent dust raining from the ceiling. Tell me on the way, Melly insisted, already moving toward the door. I'm going to help our pack whether Chaska likes it or not. Outside, the night had transformed into a battlefield. Wolves clashed in vicious combat across the compound, while those in human form engaged with more sophisticated weapons. Melly spotted several unfamiliar shifters wearing the distinctive silver armbands of the rival pack. This way, Talon directed, leading them toward the eastern forest, where the fighting was most intense. The prophecy speaks of a union between bloodlines that would end the centuries-old conflict between our packs. A child born of Moonridge and Silverclaw Alpha lineage who would unite the packs and unlock ancient power. Melly nearly stumbled. That's why Damien wants me? For some. Mythical superbaby? Your grandmother was born Silverclaw before she made it into Moonridge, Eliza added, keeping pace beside them. You carry both bloodlines already, which makes you uniquely valuable. The revelation struck Melly like a physical blow. My grandmother was Silverclaw. Why didn't anyone tell me? It was kept secret to protect you, Talon explained as they navigated through the trees. The previous Silverclaw Alpha, Damien's father, wanted to force a union with you when you came of age. Your parents' mating and your grandmother's integration into Moonridge were part of a plan to shield you from that fate, And now Damien's carrying on Daddy's tradition, Melly said bitterly. Charming. They reached a ridge overlooking a clearing where the most intense fighting centered around a familiar figure. Chaska moved with lethal grace, his massive black, wolf form cutting through opponents with terrifying efficiency. Even in her anger, Melly couldn't help but admire his power. There, Talon pointed to a silver-gray wolf watching from the opposite tree line. That's Damien. The Silverclaw Alpha was distinctive, larger than average with unusual markings that almost appeared metallic in the moonlight. As they watched, he barked commands to his fighters, clearly orchestrating the attack to isolate Chaska. They're trying to wear him down, Melee realized. It's a hunting pattern. Without hesitation, she shifted back to wolf form, her clothes tearing away as her body contorted. Before Talon could stop her, she leaped down the ridge, racing toward the battle. The moment she entered the clearing, Damien's attention snapped to her. She could feel his focus like a physical touch, sending revulsion through her. She snarled, baring her teeth in challenge as she positioned herself between the Silverclaw Alpha and her former mate. Chaska's massive black form froze for a split, second when he sensed her, surprise giving way to what she could only interpret as fury. Through the phantom remnants of their bond, she felt his emotion. Not anger that she had disobeyed, but fear for her safety. Get out of here! His thought slammed into her mind. The clarity of it shocked her. Broken mate bonds shouldn't allow for telepathic communication. Not happening, she projected back, unsure if he could hear her. Damien's howl cut through the chaos, a command to his forces. The Silverclaw fighters began to withdraw, reforming around their alpha. The standoff stretched, taut with tension, before Damien shifted to human form. Naked and seemingly unconcerned about his vulnerability, he stepped forward. Melly Carter, he called, his voice carrying across the clearing. You're even more beautiful than rumors suggested, Chaska growled, moving to stand beside her. The protective gesture irritated her. She wasn't his to protect anymore. She shifted back to human form, accepting a cloak that Eliza threw down from the ridge. Whatever you want, Damien. Attacking my pack isn't the way to get it. He smiled, revealing teeth too sharp for his human form. Technically, it's not your pack anymore. Not since your alpha couldn't keep his knot to himself. Several Moon Ridge wolves snarled at the crude reference. Melly forced herself to remain impassive. State your business and get off our land, she said coldly. My business is with you, lovely Melly. You and I have a destiny written in the stars, or more accurately, in blood. He took another step forward. Do you know what your name means in the old tongue? Bitter. A tragedy for one so sweet. I prefer to think of it as strong, she countered. And if you think I'd ever willingly join with you, you're delusional. Damien laughed. Willingly would be preferable, but it's not required. The prophecy simply calls for a union of bloodlines. His eyes darkened with malice. Though I'd certainly enjoy your willing participation. Chaska lunged forward with a savage growl, only stopping when Melly placed a restraining hand on his fur. The prophecy is a myth, she said firmly. And even if it weren't, I'd rather die than bear your child. Such dramatics, Damien sighed, theatrically. Perhaps you'd be more amenable after learning the truth about your precious Chaska. About why he betrayed you? She felt Chaska tense beneath her hand. I know enough, she replied, though curiosity sparked despite herself. Do you? Damien's smile turned cruel. Did he tell you about our agreement? His little sacrifice to protect the pack? To protect you? Confusion flickered through her. What agreement? Chaska shifted suddenly, standing naked beside her. Enough, Damien. Oh, but we're just getting to the good part, Damien purred. Tell her, Alpha. Tell her how you sacrificed your precious mate bond to save her life. How you made a deal with me to take her cousin to your bed so that your bond would break. making Meli worthless to me according to the ancient laws. The world seemed to tilt beneath Meli's feet. "What is he talking about?" she demanded, turning to Chaska. Pain etched deep lines around Chaska's eyes. "He threatened to kill you if I didn't break our bond. The prophecy requires both participants to be unbonded. As long as we were mated, you were in danger." "So you slept with my cousin?" Disbelief colored her voice. "That was your solution?" "I didn't sleep with her," Chaska said quietly. "We staged what you saw. Nadia agreed to help, to protect you." "You expect me to believe that?" Even as she spoke, doubt crept in. The scene she'd discovered had been almost too perfect, as if arranged for her to find. "He's telling the truth," called another voice. Nadia stepped from the tree line, her expression solemn. "We never touched each other. It was theater. Cruel, but necessary." Millie's mind raced, reevaluating months of pain through this new lens. "Why didn't you tell me?" she asked Chaska, voice breaking. "Why let me believe the worst?" "Your pain had to be real," he answered, agony in every word. "Damien had spies watching. If you hadn't truly believed I betrayed you, the bond wouldn't have broken." "How touching," Damien interrupted, slow applause punctuating his mockery. "A noble sacrifice. Unfortunately, it changes nothing. The bond is broken, which means Meli is fair game according to pack law." "She's still under Moonridge protection," Chaska growled. "Not for long." Damien's smile turned predatory. "I've invoked the ancient rite of challenge. 1 week from tonight, under the full moon, I'll face you for leadership of both packs, and for her." Murmurs rippled through the gathered wolves. The ancient rite hadn't been invoked in generations. "You can't be serious," Meli protested. "I'm not a prize to be won." "According to laws older than either of us, you are," Damien countered. "Laws your pack still honors, if I'm not mistaken." He turned to Chaska. "Do you accept my challenge, Alpha? Or will you forfeit your lands, your pack, and your former mate?" Chaska's expression darkened. "I accept." "Excellent." Damien's satisfaction was palpable. 1 week. The sacred battlefield at Devil's Ridge. According to tradition, the female in question must be present to witness and to join with the victor immediately following combat. Revulsion coursed through Meli. "That's barbaric." "That's tradition," Damien corrected. "One your ancestors helped establish." He shifted back to wolf form, signaling his pack to retreat. Before turning away, he projected a final thought strong, enough for both Meli and Chaska to hear. "Perhaps I'll let you watch when I claim her, Chaska. A final lesson in what it means to lose everything." As the Silverclaw pack melted into the forest, stunned silence fell over the clearing. Meli stood frozen, mind reeling from revelations that upended everything she'd believed for months. "We need to talk," she finally said to Chaska, her voice brittle. "Yes," he agreed simply. "We do." Around them, injured pack members were being tended to. The night's battle had ended, but a much more dangerous confrontation loomed on the horizon. Talon approached, his expression grave. "The elders are gathering in the council chamber. They want to speak with both of you." As they turned toward the main compound, Meli felt the weight of prophecy and tradition closing around her like a trap. 1 week to unravel generations of secrets. 1 week to prepare Chaska for a fight that would determine not just their futures, but the fate of both packs. And somewhere in the forest, Kiona waited with answers about her grandmother. Answers that might change everything. Dawn broke over the Moonridge compound as the emergency council meeting finally concluded. Meli stood on the balcony outside, the council chamber, exhaustion pulling at her limbs while her mind raced with impossible revelations. Inside, the elders continued their heated debate with Chaska over the validity of Damien's challenge. Tradition demanded acceptance, but the stakes were unprecedented, not just leadership of two packs, but Meli herself as part of the prize. "You look like you could use this," said a quiet voice beside her. Nadia approached, offering a steaming mug of coffee. Meli accepted it wordlessly, still unsure how to feel about her cousin's role in the deception. "I'm sorry," Nadia said after a moment. "For all of it. For not telling you the truth." "Why did you agree to help him?" Meli asked, the question that had been burning inside her since Damien's revelation. Nadia leaned against the railing, her expression troubled. "Chaska came to me desperate. Said Damien had threatened to kill you unless the mate bond was broken. He needed someone you would believe could tempt him. Someone whose betrayal would hurt enough to fracture what you had. And you volunteered." Meli couldn't keep the bitterness from her voice. "I owed him," Nadia said simply. 5 years ago, my human boyfriend discovered what I was. He threatened exposure. Chaska handled it, made sure the boy left town believing he'd imagined everything. No memory wipes, no violence, just protection for our secret and my reputation, Meli remembered vaguely. Nadia's sudden breakup, her weeks of depression afterward. She'd assumed it was just teenage drama. "So you repaid him by helping destroy my marriage?" "I helped save your life," Nadia corrected gently. "The mate bond. Had to break for real, Mel. Damien had magic users monitoring it. Ancient stuff that could detect deception. Why didn't anyone tell me afterward? Let me suffer for months thinking..." Melly's voice broke. "Chaska wanted to," Nadia admitted. "But the elders overruled him. Said your reaction had to remain genuine for your protection. Damien's spies were everywhere." The door to the council chamber opened, and Talon emerged. "They're asking for you, Meli." With a deep breath, she steeled herself and went inside. The council chamber was an impressive circular room with wood-paneled walls adorned with the carved histories of the pack. 12 elders sat in a semicircle, with Chaska standing before them. All eyes turned to her as she entered. Elder Reyna, her father's aunt and the most respected voice on the council, spoke first. "Meli, we've heard Chaska's account of tonight's events. We need to hear yours." For the next hour, Meli recounted everything, from Chaska's visit to her apartment to the confrontation with Damien. She hesitated only when she reached her meeting with Kiona, unsure how much to reveal. "Kiona spoke to you?" Elder Reyna leaned forward, suddenly intense. "What exactly did she say?" Meli described the hidden stone circle and Kiona's cryptic words about her grandmother's secrets and the pendant being a key. The council exchanged meaningful glances. Elder Reyna's expression grew troubled. "Kiona hasn't spoken to anyone from the pack in over a decade. If she's reached out to you, the situation is even more grave than we feared." "Who exactly is she?" Meli asked. "She said she was once Luna." "Much more than that," Elder Reyna replied. "Kiona is the last true seer among our kind. She was mated to the Alpha 4 generations ago, but when he died, she retreated into the old ways. Her visions have shaped pack policy for over a century." "And my grandmother? Was she really born Silverclaw?" A heavy silence fell over the room. Finally, Elder Reyna nodded. "Ilara was Silverclaw royalty, daughter of their Alpha. Her union with your grandfather was meant to unite our packs and fulfill the prophecy." "What exactly does this prophecy say?" Meli demanded. "Everyone keeps referencing it, but no one will tell me exactly what it predicts." Elder Marcus, the keeper of pack histories, cleared his throat. "When Moon and Silver join in blood twice, born, ancient power shall awaken. The divided shall unite, and what was lost shall be reclaimed." "Twice born," Meli repeated. "What does that mean?" "A second generation union," Elder Marcus explained. Your grandparents were the first joining of the bloodlines. The prophecy speaks of a child from a second union, specifically, between alpha bloodlines of both packs. Which makes you the key, Chaska said quietly. With Silverclaw blood from your grandmother and Moonridge alpha bloodline from your father's side. And Damien wants to fulfill the prophecy by claiming me, Melly concluded, revulsion washing through her. But why? What ancient power are we talking about? The elders exchanged uneasy glances. The ability to control the shift, Elder Reyna finally answered. Complete mastery over our dual nature. The legends say our ancestors could shift partially, take the strength, speed, and senses of wolf while maintaining human form. They could command other shifters, even against their will. That kind of power would make Damien unstoppable, Talon said grimly. So my options are to let Chaska fight a battle to the death, or become Damien's breeding mare for some mystical power grab. Melly's anger flared. There has to be another way. There might be, Elder Reyna said carefully. If Kiona has revealed herself to you and spoken of your grandmother's pendant, she believes there's an alternative path. The full moon is in 1 week, Elder Marcus added, the same night as Damien's challenge. Chaska stepped closer to Millie, not quite touching her. We need to find Kiona again, today. The council murmured agreement, and Elder Reyna stood. Go to the Ancestors' Circle. We'll continue researching the ancient texts for any loopholes in the challenge rite. As the meeting dispersed, Melly found herself alone with Chaska for the first time since their confrontation with Damien. Why didn't you tell me the truth? She asked quietly, the question she'd been holding back for hours. Pain flashed across his features. I wanted to. Every day without you has been torture. But the elders were convinced Damien would kill you if he suspected any deception. So you let me hate you. It was the only way to keep you safe. His voice roughened. Watching you look at me with such loathing, knowing I'd caused it, it nearly destroyed me, Mel. She studied him, seeing now the toll the past months had taken. The man before her was a shadow of the confident, powerful alpha she'd mated. His eyes held a rawness that spoke of sleepless nights and constant pain. I need time to process this, she said finally. Finding out everything I believed for months was a lie. I can't just flip a switch and forget the pain. I understand, he replied softly. I don't expect forgiveness. I just want to keep you safe. An awkward silence stretched between them, the ghost of their former intimacy making the distance more painful. We should prepare for the journey to find Kiona, Melly finally said. I'll meet you at the eastern trailhead in an hour. The forest felt different in daylight, less magical, but no less dangerous. Melly and Chaska traveled in wolf form, accompanied by Talon and Eliza as guards. The journey to the Ancestors' Circle took longer than Melly expected. The hidden location, seemingly more reluctant to reveal itself in the harsh light of day. By mid-afternoon, frustration mounted as they circled the general area where Melly had encountered Kiona the previous night. It was right here, Melly projected to the others, standing in a clearing that looked nothing like the stone circle she remembered. Sacred places often hide themselves, Chaska replied. Let your wolf guide you. Instinct over sight. Melly closed her eyes, surrendering to her other half. The wolf's senses were different, less concerned with visual landmarks and more attuned to the subtle energies of the forest. She felt a pull to the east, a whisper of power that called to something primal within her. Without opening her eyes, she began to move, trusting her wolf completely. The others followed silently. Time seemed to blur as she navigated by sensation alone, until suddenly the energy around her intensified. She opened her eyes to find the stone circle exactly as she remembered it, ancient monoliths standing sentinel in a perfect ring. Kiona sat in the center, as though she'd been waiting for them. The four shifters transformed, accepting clothes that Eliza distributed from a waterproof pack she'd carried. You've returned, Kiona observed, her ageless eyes taking in the group. And brought the Alpha with you. Good. We need answers, Melly said, stepping forward. About the prophecy, my grandmother's pendant, all of it. Kiona smiled enigmatically. What makes you think I have these answers? Because you wouldn't have revealed yourself otherwise, Chaska replied, his voice respectful but firm. Our packs stand on the brink of war. Damien Silverclaw has invoked the ancient rite of challenge. Has he indeed? Kiona seemed unsurprised. The wheel turns as it must. Some events are written in stone. She gestured to the monoliths around them, where Melly now noticed symbols etched into the ancient rock, a language she couldn't decipher. We don't have time for riddles, Talon said impatiently. Kiona's gaze sharpened. Time is exactly what we're discussing, young Beta. The past, the present, the future, all colliding in a moment of potential. She rose and approached Melly. May I see your grandmother's pendant? Melly hesitated, then removed the silver necklace she always wore. The pendant was a simple design, a crescent moon embracing a small, rough-hewn stone that caught the light with unusual brilliance. Kiona took it reverently, turning it in her gnarled fingers. The key remains intact, she murmured. Ilara preserved it well. What is it a key to? Melly asked. To the truth. To the past. Kiona held the pendant up to the dappled sunlight, filtering through the forest canopy. And perhaps to your salvation. The old woman traced the rough-hewn stone with her fingertip. This is no ordinary gem. It's a moonstone from the sacred caves beneath Devil's Ridge, the very place where Damien has demanded your confrontation. Chaska stepped closer, eyes fixed on the pendant. I've never heard of sacred caves beneath the ridge. Because the knowledge was deliberately hidden, Kiona replied. After the great war between our packs 3 centuries ago, the location of the caves was struck from our histories. Too dangerous, the elders decided. Too much power concentrated in one place. What power? Melly asked. Kiona returned the pendant to her hands, closing Melly's fingers around it. The caves are where our kind first learned to shift, where the original pact with the wolf spirits was sealed. The boundary between human and wolf is thinnest there. That's why Damien chose Devil's Ridge for the challenge, Eliza murmured. He knows about the caves. Of course he does, Kiona said with a dismissive wave. The Silverclaws never purged their histories as the Moon Ridge did. They've been planning this for generations, waiting for the right alignment of bloodlines. She pointed to the pendant. Ilara stole this from the Silverclaw Alpha, her father, when she fled to join your grandfather. It's not just a key in the metaphorical sense. It will literally open the sealed entrance to the deepest chamber of the caves. Why would my grandmother steal it? Melly asked. Kiona's expression softened. To protect what lies within. Ilara knew the prophecy better than anyone. She was to be part of an arranged mating to consolidate power, but she chose love instead. Your grandfather, a Moon Ridge warrior with no alpha blood. By taking the key, she prevented her father from accessing the ancient power. Until now, Talon said grimly. Until now, Kiona agreed. With your unique bloodline, Melly, and this key, Damien could unlock abilities our kind hasn't wielded in centuries. What exactly would this power allow him to do? Chaska asked, his voice tight, with concern. Control over all shifters within his territory. The ability to force transformations, or prevent them. Command over the will of those with weaker bloodlines. Kiona's eyes grew distant. Our histories speak of alpha shifters who could control entire packs like puppets, who could maintain perfect, hybrid forms combining human intelligence with wolf strength. Some could even transfer their consciousness into the bodies of other shifters. Horror spread through the group at these revelations. Then Damien can't be allowed to win the challenge, Melly stated firmly. But even if Chaska defeats him, the problem remains. The power still exists, waiting for someone to claim it. Which is why your grandmother took the key, Kiona said. Ilara believed the power should remain dormant, that our kind wasn't ready for such abilities. Was she right? Chaska asked. Perhaps. Kiona studied him thoughtfully. Or perhaps the power was waiting for the right alpha, one who would use it not for dominance, but for protection. The implication hung in the air between them. There's more, Kiona continued. The prophecy has been misinterpreted, deliberately, I suspect, by those who would use it for control. She approached one of the standing stones, brushing away centuries of moss to reveal intricate carvings beneath. The original text doesn't specify that the bloodlines must join through mating. It speaks of blood willingly shared in sacred ritual. What's the difference? Talon asked. Intent, Kiona replied simply. Force creates corruption. Willing sacrifice creates balance. Melly suddenly understood. So Damien's plan would twist the prophecy, Kiona confirmed, creating power without balance, dominance without responsibility. The consequences would extend far beyond your two packs. How do we stop him? Chaska asked, determination hardening his features. Kiona stepped into the center of the stone circle, gesturing for them to follow. There is a ritual, older than the challenge rite, more binding than pack law. If performed under the full moon, in the sacred caves, by two who once shared a true mate bond. It could override Damien's challenge? Eliza asked hopefully. It could do much more, Kiona answered cryptically. But it requires genuine reconciliation. The ritual cannot be performed through deception or coercion. The broken bond must be truly healed. Melly felt Chaska's gaze on her but couldn't meet his eyes. Despite learning the truth behind his betrayal, months of pain and separation stood between them. How could they rebuild what had been so thoroughly shattered in just 7 days? Teach us the ritual, Chaska said, his voice betraying none of the doubt Melly felt. Kiona shook her head. Not here. The stones have ears. She gestured to the bee forest around them. Return to me the night before the full moon, alone, both of you. If you've made progress toward healing your bond, I will teach you what you need to know. And if we haven't? Melly challenged. Then prepare for battle, Kiona said simply. For whichever path you choose, blood will be spilled before this is over. The old woman's form seemed to waver, like heat rising from summer pavement. 1 week, children of two bloodlines. 1 week to decide the fate of all shifters. Her voice faded as her body dissolved into mist that scattered among the ancient stones. The four shifters stood in stunned silence, processing everything they'd learned. We need to get back, Talon finally said. Report to the council. As they prepared to shift for the journey home, Chaska caught Melly's arm. We need to talk, privately. Not now, she said, pulling away. I need time to think. His expression fell, but he nodded. Time is the one thing we don't have much of, Mel. But I'll give you what I can. Night was falling as they raced back through the forest, each lost in their own thoughts. The pendant bounced against Melly's chest as she ran, its weight suddenly significant. A key not just to ancient power, but to her own destiny. Midnight found Melly on the roof of her childhood home, staring at the waxing moon. 3 days had passed since their meeting with Kiona, days filled with frantic research and preparations for both ritual and battle. The council remained divided, some believing in the alternative Kiona had offered, others insisting that pack law demanded they honor the challenge. Through it all, Melly had avoided being alone with Chaska. Their interactions had been strictly professional, focused on strategy and history rather than the broken bond between them. But avoidance couldn't continue. 4 days remained until the full moon, and they were no closer to the reconciliation Kiona had demanded. I thought I might find you up here, said a familiar voice. Melly didn't turn as her father climbed onto the roof, settling beside her with the same ease he'd shown when she was a child seeking stargazing companionship. Thomas Carter had been Moonridge Alpha before Chaska, stepping down when illness had weakened him 5 years ago. Though no longer ruling, his wisdom remained respected throughout the pack. "Old habits," she replied, offering a small smile. "Remember when you taught me the constellations up here?" "You were always more interested in the moon," he said fondly, "even before you understood its significance to our kind." They sat in comfortable silence for a moment before Thomas spoke again. "You're avoiding him. No need to specify who him was." "I'm processing." "Processing won't heal what's broken between you," her father said gently. "Only confronting it will." Melly sighed, drawing her knees to her chest. "How do you forgive someone for letting you believe the worst for months? For watching you suffer when a simple explanation could have ended it? The same way you forgive yourself for not trusting the bond you shared," Thomas answered. "By recognizing that we all make impossible choices when protecting those we love." The words stung with truth. Despite her anger, a small voice had always whispered that the betrayal didn't align with the man she'd known and loved. "The council is increasingly divided," Thomas continued. "Half believe Kiona's ritual is our salvation, half consider it dangerous mysticism. Meanwhile, our scouts report Damien gathering forces. If Chaska faces him in traditional combat, the odds are concerning." "What do you mean?" Thomas's expression darkened. "Damien has been consuming a concoction of herbs and shifter blood, an ancient formula meant to enhance strength and aggression. It's forbidden magic, but effective. He's been training with it for months." Fear twisted in Melly's stomach. "And Chaska?" "Refuses to use similar methods. Says he won't corrupt himself even to win." Pride and frustration warred within her. Typical Chaska, honorable to a fault, even when facing an opponent with no such compunctions. "He needs the ritual," Thomas said plainly. "You both do. Whatever lies between you must be addressed, Melly, or we all suffer the consequences." "I know," she admitted quietly. "I'm just not sure how to begin." "Perhaps with the truth," came another voice. Melly turned to see Chaska standing on the edge of the roof, his powerful frame silhouetted against the night sky. He must have approached silently while they talked. Thomas stood, squeezing his daughter's shoulder. "I'll leave you two to figure this out." He nodded respectfully to Chaska before disappearing over the edge of the roof. An awkward silence expanded between them as Chaska took Thomas's place, keeping a careful distance between himself and Melly. "Your father's right," he finally said. "We can't avoid this conversation any longer." Melly took a deep breath. "I don't know where to start." "Maybe with questions," he suggested. "You must have hundreds." She nodded slowly. "Why didn't you fight for another solution? Why accept Damien's ultimatum at all?" Pain flashed across Chaska's features. "I did fight. I spent weeks searching for alternatives, consulting with elders, even reaching out to allied packs." His hands clenched into fists. "But Damien had thought of everything. He had spies among us, magic users monitoring our bond, even a contingent of warriors positioned near your workplace in the city. You could have told me. We could have faced it together." "The first thing I tried," he admitted. "I started to explain the threat to you, and that night your car's brakes failed. The mechanic found evidence of tampering. It was a warning, explicit and terrifying." Melly remembered the incident, a frightening moment she'd attributed to poor maintenance. "So you decided to break my heart instead of risking my life." "I decided your life was worth any sacrifice," he corrected quietly. "Even your love. Even your trust." The raw honesty in his voice pierced through layers of hurt. "Why Nadia? Of all people." "Believability," he answered. "It needed to be someone you would never question, someone whose betrayal would cut deeply enough to fracture the bond. Nadia volunteered, said she owed me and would never forgive herself if something happened to you because she refused. Meli stared at the moon, processing his words. The scene I walked in on. It was elaborately staged. Down to the rumpled sheets and strategically discarded clothing, Chaska confirmed. Nadia and I never touched beyond what you saw. Her draped over me, both of us still mostly clothed. The moment you left, I pushed her away and vomited from the self-disgust. The image was so vivid, so at odds with her months of imagined scenarios, that Meli almost laughed at the absurdity. You let me hate you for half a year to protect me. I would have let you hate me forever if it meant you stayed alive. The simple conviction in his voice stripped away any lingering doubt about his motives. Silence fell between them again, less tense than before. I missed you, Meli finally admitted, the words barely audible. Even hating you, I missed you every day. Chaska's breath caught. I never stopped loving you. Not for a moment. He cautiously extended his hand, palm up, a gesture of peace. After a heartbeat's hesitation, Meli placed her hand in his. The familiar warmth sent a shiver through her body, a reminder of the connection they'd once shared. Can our bond be repaired? She asked softly. Is that even possible? Kiona, believe so, he replied. She says true-mate bonds never fully break. They just go dormant under extreme trauma. As if responding to his words, Meli felt a flicker of something in the empty space where their bond had once thrived. A ghost of connection, faint but unmistakable. I felt that, Chaska whispered, his eyes widening. Did you? She nodded. It's still there, damaged but not destroyed. Hope bloomed in his expression, cautious but real. Kiona said we need genuine reconciliation for the ritual to work. What does that mean to you, Mel? The question was gentle, placing the power in her hands. Meli considered it carefully. Truth, she finally said. Complete honesty between us, no matter how painful. No more secrets, no more decisions made, for my protection without my input. Agreed, he said immediately. What else? Time, she continued. Not that we have much, but what we do have needs to be spent rebuilding trust. I can't just flip a switch and forget the past months. I understand. His thumb traced small circles on her palm, the familiar gesture of comfort, making her heart ache with nostalgia. And I need something, too. What? Forgiveness, he said, his voice rough with emotion. Not right away, but eventually. I need to know there's a path forward for us, even if it's long and difficult. Meli looked at him, really looked, for the first time in months. She saw the toll their separation had taken, the sleepless nights etched around his eyes, the weight loss that had sharpened his features. But she also saw the man she'd loved since they were teenagers, the alpha who had always put his pack's needs above his own. The mate whose touch had once been her greatest comfort. I think forgiveness is possible, she said carefully, with time and effort from both of us. Relief washed over his face. That's all I ask. A howl pierced the night, one of their scouts signaling an alert. They both tensed, the moment of connection interrupted by pack business. We should go, Chaska said reluctantly, releasing her hand. As they moved to the edge of the roof, Meli caught his arm. Tonight, after the council meeting, come to my cabin. We'll talk more. The invitation clearly surprised him. Are you sure? No more wasted time, she said firmly. 4 days isn't much to rebuild a lifetime bond. His smile, the first genuine one she'd seen in months, warmed something inside her. I'll be there. The news wasn't good. Scouts reported Damien's forces growing by the day, with rogues and mercenaries joining the Silverclaw ranks. More disturbing were reports of strange rituals being conducted nightly. Blood magic that left animals dead and forest groves withered, He's preparing something beyond the challenge, Elder Reyna concluded after hearing the reports. Enhancing his strength through forbidden means. Can we counter this magic? Melly asked, her hand unconsciously touching the pendant at her throat. Not without resorting to the same dark practices, Elder Marcus replied, which would corrupt our own power. The council chamber buzzed with concerned voices until Chaska called for silence. Our path is clear, he said with calm authority. We prepare for both possibilities, the ritual Kiona spoke of, and traditional combat. Double the patrols, accelerate combat training for all able fighters, and continue researching the ritual requirements. His gaze met Melly's across the room. Melly and I will work on fulfilling Kiona's conditions for the alternative ritual. Meanwhile, I'll continue preparing for direct combat if that becomes necessary. The council accepted his directives, though concern remained evident on every face. As the meeting dispersed, Eliza pulled Melly aside. You two seem different, she observed. Less hostile vibes? Progress? Melly nodded cautiously. We're talking. Actually talking. Not just strategy discussions. Thank the moon goddess, Eliza sighed dramatically. The tension was killing everyone. So, reconciliation on the horizon? Maybe, Melly admitted. He's coming to my cabin tonight to continue our conversation. Eliza's eyebrows shot up. Conversation, huh? Is that what we're calling it now? Despite everything, Melly found herself laughing. Yes, conversation. We have years of damage to repair in 4 days. Romance isn't exactly the priority. Fair enough, Eliza conceded. But don't forget, the ritual Kiona mentioned probably requires more than just talking to restore your bond. The implication made Melly blush. One step at a time. Melly's cabin stood at the edge of the compound, offering privacy that her position as the former Luna had warranted. She'd moved there after the separation, unable to remain in the main house she'd shared with Chaska. She paced nervously, having changed clothes 3 times before settling on simple jeans and a soft sweater. The absurdity of worrying about her appearance for the man who had seen her in every possible state struck her suddenly, forcing a small laugh. A knock at the door stopped her pacing. Taking a deep breath, she opened it to find Chaska standing there, equally casual in jeans and a Henley that strained across his broad shoulders. He'd brought a bottle of wine, the same kind they'd shared on their first date years ago. Peace offering, he said, holding it up with a hesitant smile. She stepped back to let him in. I think we're beyond peace offerings, but wine never hurts a difficult conversation. The cabin was small, a main room combining kitchen and living area, a bathroom, and a bedroom visible through a partially open door. Chaska moved carefully, as though afraid to take up too much space in her domain. You've made it nice, he commented, noting the photographs and personal touches that had transformed the functional space into a home. It helped to have a project, she replied, retrieving glasses from a cabinet. Decorating kept my mind occupied. They settled on opposite ends of the small sofa, the wine poured but untouched between them. For a moment, neither spoke, the weight of everything unsaid filling the room. Where did we leave off? Chaska finally asked. Truth, Melly reminded him. No more secrets. She took a sip of wine for courage. Tell me about when you first learned of Damien's threat. For the next hour, Chaska detailed the events leading to their separation. The first cryptic warnings, the escalating threats, his desperate search for alternatives, and finally, the impossible decision. In turn, Melly described her months of grief and anger, the isolation she'd imposed on herself, the slow process of rebuilding her identity separate from him and her role as Luna. Each revelation formed a bridge across the chasm between them, painful but necessary. I kept your things, Chaska admitted softly. Your clothes, your books. I couldn't bear to move them. Your scent faded from our bed, but I would sit in your closet sometimes, surrounded by your things, just to feel close to you. The image broke, something inside Melly, the final wall of resistance. Tears filled her eyes. I did the same with your old sweatshirt, the one you left at my apartment. I told myself I was keeping it out of spite, but really, you needed the connection, he finished for her, even through anger. She nodded, unable to speak past the lump in her throat. Chaska set his glass down and cautiously moved closer on the sofa. May I? At her nod, he pulled her into his arms, cradling her against his chest as she finally released months of pent-up grief. His own tears dampened her hair as they held each other, the physical contact strengthening the fragile thread of their bond. I feel it growing stronger, he whispered after her tears had subsided. Our connection. Melly nodded against his chest. I feel it too. They stayed entwined as midnight passed, talking softly about memories both painful and precious. The wine remained largely untouched, both preferring clarity to comfort. When exhaustion finally overtook them, Melly made no move to send him away. Instead, she led him to her bed, where they lay fully clothed above the covers, her back pressed to his chest, his arm draped protectively over her waist. Stay, she murmured sleepily. His answer was to pull her closer, his breath warm against her neck. Always, if you'll let me. For the first time in months, Melly slept without dreams of betrayal and loss. Instead, she dreamed of moonlight on, water, of running through forests as wolves side by side, of ancient stones and sacred caves where broken things were made whole again. In the dream, their bond glowed like spun gold between them, damaged but healing, a promise of what could be restored. Flames danced in the center of the ancestors' circle, casting long shadows across the ancient stones. Melly and Chaska knelt, opposite Kiona, the firelight reflecting in her ageless eyes as she studied them intently. The bond strengthens, she observed with satisfaction. You've made progress. 3 days had passed since their reconciliation began. 3 days of painful conversations, tentative touches, and gradual healing. They had spent every night together, sometimes talking until dawn, sometimes simply holding each other in silence. The dormant connection between them had grown steadier, more substantial, though still fragile compared to what they had once shared. Is it enough? Chaska asked, his hand clasped firmly with Melly's. The full moon rises tomorrow night. Kiona reached across the fire, placing gnarled fingers against both their foreheads, her eyes closed in concentration. The foundation is rebuilt, she said after a moment, but the structure remains incomplete. The ritual requires a fully restored bond. Disappointment flashed across Chaska's face. We've run out of time. Not necessarily, Kiona replied. What takes months to destroy can sometimes be rebuilt in moments of true need. The ritual itself will test your connection, and may strengthen it if your intentions are pure. She reached into a pouch at her waist, withdrawing a small clay pot filled with dark paste. This is sacred ash mixed with herbs and the blood of your ancestors, preserved through generations. Tonight, you will mark each other with symbols of binding. She demonstrated the pattern on her own palm, intricate swirls forming a design that resembled both the moon and a wolf's eye. Draw this over each other's hearts, she instructed, handing the pot to Melly. Then spend the night here, within the circle. Let the stones witness your commitment. And tomorrow? Melly asked. Tomorrow you face your enemy, Kiona said simply. The confrontation cannot be avoided. But how you meet it, as combatants or vessels of ancient power, will be determined by the strength of your renewed bond. The old woman rose with surprising grace. The ritual must be performed in the deepest chamber of the sacred caves, where the boundaries between human and wolf first dissolved. Your pendant, she nodded toward Melee's necklace. will guide your way and unlock the final door. What exactly will this ritual do? Chaska asked. If successful, it will bypass Damien's challenge by invoking older, more binding law. It will also channel the power he seeks, but into both of you equally, creating balance rather than dominance. Kiona's expression grew grave. But it requires absolute commitment. Hesitation or doubt in either of you will corrupt the process, with disastrous consequences. What kind of consequences? Meili pressed. The kind that echo through generations, Kiona answered cryptically. Now, I must leave you to complete your preparation. Remember, the markings, then a night within. The circle. The stones will witness. And she stepped back, her form once again dissolving into mist that scattered among the ancient monoliths. Alone in the flickering firelight, Meili turned to Chaska. Are we ready for this? His expression was solemn as he clasped both her hands in his. I don't know, but I am certain of one thing, my commitment to you. Whatever happens tomorrow, whatever we face, my heart is yours completely. The simple declaration resonated through their strengthening bond, causing it to pulse with renewed energy. I believe you, Meili whispered, the admission itself a kind of healing. I couldn't have said that a week ago. Progress, he said with a small smile. They settled beside the fire, and Meili opened the clay pot Kiona had given them. The paste inside smelled of earth and herbs, with an underlying metallic scent that suggested the presence of ancient blood. Who goes first? She asked. I will, Chaska offered. He removed his shirt and knelt before her, his powerful chest exposed to the night air. Meili dipped her fingers into the paste, surprised by its warm temperature. Following Kiona's example, she began to trace the intricate pattern over Chaska's heart. The design seemed to guide her fingers, as though the knowledge of its form was embedded in her bloodline. As she completed the symbol, the paste shimmered briefly before sinking into his skin, leaving a mark that resembled a tattoo, dark against his tanned flesh. It tingles, he murmured, touching the area gently. They exchanged positions, and Meili removed her own shirt, kneeling before him in just her bra. The vulnerability of the moment wasn't lost on either of them. This was the most exposed they'd been with each other since before their separation. Chaska's fingers trembled slightly as he drew the pattern over her heart. His touch was reverent, each stroke deliberate. When he finished, the paste warmed intensely before absorbing into her skin, leaving the matching mark. I feel, Meili began, struggling to describe the sensation. Connected, Chaska finished. More than before. Their bond had strengthened noticeably, the thread between them thickening into something more substantial. Not yet the powerful connection they'd once shared, but no longer the fragile filament of recent days. They redressed and settled, beside the fire, wrapped in blankets they'd brought for the night. Above them, stars winked through the canopy of trees, while around them, the ancient stones stood sentinel. Are you afraid? Meili asked softly, her head resting on Chaska's shoulder. Of tomorrow? Yes, he admitted. Not of dying, that's always a possibility for an alpha, but of failing, of losing you to Damien. That won't happen, she said with sudden fierceness. Whatever the outcome of the ritual or the challenge, I won't be his prize. The conviction in her voice caused their newly strengthened bond to pulse with determination. Tell me about the first time you knew you loved me, she requested, changing the subject to lighter memories. Chaska's smile was visible in the firelight. You were 16. I was 18. That summer bonfire when you stood up to Marcus for bullying that new pack member. Really? That early? She looked up at him in surprise. I thought it was later, when we started training together. No, it was definitely that night. You were so fierce, so righteous in your anger. I remember thinking, That's what a true Luna looks like. His arm tightened around her. When did you know about me? Meli laughed softly. Much earlier. I was 12. You were 14. You carried my books home from school when I sprained my ankle. You were so serious about it. Like it was an official alpha duty. I had a crush on you even then, he confessed. But you were the former alpha's daughter. It seemed presumptuous to think of you that way. And yet here we are. Here we are, he echoed, on the eve of battle, performing ancient rituals under the stars. They fell silent, watching the flames dance while the night deepened around them. Eventually, they lay back against the moor, blankets, still wrapped in each other's arms, and counted stars until sleep claimed them. Above them, the waxing moon inched closer to fullness, while within them, their bond continued its steady repair. Dawn found them still entwined, the fire reduced to embers beside them. The markings over their hearts had darkened overnight, now resembling tattoos that had been in place for years rather than hours. It's time, Chaska said softly, brushing hair from Melly's face. We need to return to the compound. Preparations for tonight will take most of the day. The journey back was taken in human form, walking hand in hand through the forest that had witnessed their gradual reconciliation. Their bond had strengthened even further during the night, as though the ancient stones had indeed been witnesses to their commitment, lending their power to the connection. At the edge of pack territory, they paused. Beyond the trees, they could see the compound buzzing with activity. Warriors training in the central clearing, elders gathered in discussion, supplies being distributed. Whatever happens today, Meli said, turning to face Chaska. Know that I forgive you. Completely. His breath caught, eyes widening at the declaration. Mel, I needed to say it before we go back to the chaos, before anything else happens. She placed her hand over the mark on his chest, feeling his heartbeat beneath her palm. I understand why you did what you did. The pain hasn't disappeared, but the anger has. Chaska cupped her face in his hands, his expression raw with emotion. I don't deserve your forgiveness. That's not for you to decide, she replied simply. It's mine to give. He leaned forward, hesitating just before their lips met, giving her the chance to pull away. Instead, Meli closed the distance between them, sealing her forgiveness with their first kiss since the separation. The moment their lips touched, their bond flared brilliantly between them, not yet the full mate connection they'd once shared, but stronger than either had dared hope. When they finally pulled apart, both were breathless. Well, Meli said with a shaky laugh, that's promising. Chaska's smile was radiant. Very. Hand in hand, they walked into the compound to face whatever the day would bring. Sunset painted the sky in shades of crimson and gold as the Moon Ridge pack gathered for departure. Warriors stood in formation, weapons gleaming in the fading light. Elders performed blessing rituals over those who would fight, while healers prepared supplies for the wounded they all knew would return. At the center of it all stood Chaska and Meli. He was dressed for battle in traditional alpha garb, leather armor reinforced with modern Kevlar, the pack symbol emblazoned across his chest. She wore a simple white dress, the traditional attire, for sacred rituals, with her grandmother's pendant prominently displayed at her throat. Remember the plan, Elder Reyna instructed them quietly. Attempt the ritual first. If it fails, Chaska faces Damien in combat while Meli is guarded by our best warriors. Talon stepped forward, leading a team of 6 elite fighters. We'll form a protective ring around Meli if it comes to battle. Damien won't lay a hand on her. And if Chaska falls, Meli asked the question no one wanted to voice. Then you run, Talon said grimly. We've prepared an escape route through the Western Territories. Allied packs will shelter you until you reach safety. Chaska's jaw tightened, but he nodded, in agreement. Your safety is paramount. If I fall, you don't stay to mourn. You run. Meili wanted to argue, but knew this wasn't the time. Instead, she squeezed his hand, letting their strengthened bond convey her feelings. It's time, Elder Marcus announced, looking to the eastern horizon, where the full moon would soon rise. We must reach Devil's Ridge before Damien's forces secure the area. The journey to the sacred battlefield took just over an hour, a tense procession through darkening forest. Scouts ran ahead and alongside, reporting that Silverclaw warriors had already begun to gather in the clearing atop. The ridge? Remember, Chaska said quietly as they approached. Whatever happens up there, our primary goal is to reach the caves. The pendant should guide us to the entrance. Meili nodded, her hand instinctively touching the silver necklace. It seemed warmer than usual against her skin, pulsing faintly in time with her heartbeat. They crested the final rise to find Devil's Ridge awash in torchlight. Damien had spared no theatrics. Elaborate braziers lined the ancient battlefield, while drummers beat a rhythm that echoed against the stone cliffs. At least 50 Silverclaw warriors formed a semicircle, with others positioned strategically among the rocks. In the center of it all stood Damien, his large frame enhanced by what appeared to be a partial shift, his features slightly elongated, claws extending from human hands, muscles unnaturally defined beneath ritual clothing. Blood magic. Elder, Reyna whispered in disgust. He's maintaining a half-form. Chaska stepped forward, Meili at his side, as the Moon Ridge pack fanned out behind them in defensive formation. The drums ceased abruptly, leaving an expectant silence. Welcome, Alpha Blackwood, Damien called, his voice distorted by his partial transformation. And the lovely Meili, I see you've brought an audience to witness your defeat and our union. I've come to answer your challenge, Chaska replied evenly, his voice carrying across the ridge. But first there's a matter of ancient law to address. Confusion flickered across Damien's distorted features. What trick is this? The challenge has been issued and accepted. There is no other law that applies here. You're wrong, Meili Si stepped forward, her white dress luminous in the moonlight. There are laws older than the challenge rite, laws that governed our kind when we first learned to shift on these very grounds. Murmurs rippled through both packs. Even some of Damien's followers exchanged uncertain glances. Elder Marcus stepped forward from the Moon Ridge ranks, unrolling an ancient scroll. By the authority vested in me as Keeper of Histories, I invoke the right of ancestral claim. When two alphas contest for territory upon sacred ground, those with original blood right may override the challenge through the ritual of unification. Ridiculous, Damien snarled, though uncertainty had crept into his eyes. No such right exists in our records. Because your ancestors removed it, called a new voice. All heads turned as Kiona emerged from the shadows, her ancient form somehow imposing despite her small stature. Several Silverclaw elders gasped in recognition. The seer, one whispered, dropping to one knee in respect. Others quickly followed. Kiona of the First Pack, Elder Marcus announced formally. Do you stand witness to the validity of this, right? I do, she replied, her voice stronger than it had been in the forest. And I stand as vessel for those who came before, those who established the sacred laws when Wolf first joined with human. Damien's face contorted with rage. This changes nothing. I've invoked the challenge, and it must be answered. By our laws. By the oldest law, Kiona interrupted, those who share the original bloodlines of our kind may seek judgment from the ancestors themselves through trial in the sacred caves. She pointed to Meili. This woman carries both bloodlines, Silverclaw through her grandmother Elara, Moonridge through her father's line. The pendant she wears is the key to the inner chamber. If the ancestors accept her claim and the restoration of her mate bond, their judgment supersedes your challenge. Fury transformed Damien's features, pushing his partial shift further until he appeared more wolf than man. I won't allow this manipulation of our sacred traditions. It's not your decision to allow or disallow, Kiona said calmly. The right predates alpha authority. It is woven into the very magic that makes us what we are. She turned to the gathered packs. Any who would prevent this ancient rite place themselves in opposition to the will of the ancestors. The consequences of such defiance echo through generations. The warning sent visible shivers through both packs. Even among Damien's most loyal followers, none seemed eager to risk ancestral retribution. This is your last chance to withdraw your challenge, Chaska said to Damien. Let us perform the ritual as tradition demands.
Never, Damien growled. The prophecy is mine to fulfill.
In a blur of motion, he lunged toward Melly, claws extended. Chaska intercepted him, the two alphas colliding with bone-crushing force. Around them, both packs tensed, ready for battle. But Kiona raised her hands. Hold, she commanded with surprising authority. Let them fight. Meanwhile, the ritual must proceed. She turned to Melly, who stood frozen, watching the alphas grapple. We must reach the caves now, while they're distracted. The pendant will show the way. Talon and his warriors immediately formed a protective circle around Melly and Kiona. Lead us, he said to the old woman. Kiona pointed to the eastern edge of the ridge. There. The entrance has been sealed for generations, but the pendant will reveal it. As they moved toward the indicated location, chaos erupted across the battlefield. Damien's forces charged forward, meeting Moon Ridge defenders in a clash of teeth and claws. Behind them, Chaska and Damien fought with terrifying intensity, both partially shifted in forms that blended human and wolf. Melly wanted desperately to stay, to help Chaska. But Kiona's grip on her arm was surprisingly strong. He fights to give us time, the old woman insisted. Don't waste his sacrifice. At the edge of the ridge, a sheer rock face dropped into darkness. Nothing resembling a cave entrance was visible. The pendant, Kiona prompted. Hold it to the stone. Melly lifted the silver necklace from around her neck, the moonstone within it glowing with inner light. As she pressed it against the rock face, the stone began to pulse in rhythm with her heartbeat. Lines of soft blue light spread outward from the contact point, tracing an archway in the solid rock. The key awakens, Kiona murmured with satisfaction. Before their astonished eyes, the rock within the glowing archway simply vanished, revealing a dark passage leading downward. Cool air rushed out, carrying scents so ancient they seemed to bypass conscious recognition and speak directly to their wolf halves. Quickly, Kiona urged, already stepping into the passage. Talon, you and two others accompany us. The rest defend the entrance. Melly hesitated, looking back toward the battle. Chaska and Damien were locked in brutal combat, blood darkening both their forms. Through their bond, she could feel Chaska's pain and determination. He needs me, she whispered. And you will help him most by completing the ritual, Kiona insisted. Trust the bond between you. With a final glance at the battlefield, Melly followed Kiona into the earth, accompanied by Talon and two of his warriors. The passage descended steeply, illuminated only by the glow of her pendant and the faint blue lines that now traced the walls. These caves were the birthplace of our kind, Kiona explained as they descended, where the first humans communed with wolf spirits and emerged changed. The magic here is in the very stone. The air grew warmer as they went deeper, charged with an energy that made their skin tingle and their wolves stir restlessly. The passage eventually opened into a vast cavern, its ceiling lost in darkness, its walls covered in ancient paintings, depicting humans, wolves, and beings that were both at once. The Hall of Transformation, Kiona said reverently, where our ancestors first learned to shift. Across the cavern, another passage beckoned. As they crossed the open space, howls and snarls echoed down from above, the battle continuing on the ridge. We must hurry,
Talon urged, his heightened senses clearly detecting something the others couldn't. Damien's forces are pressing toward the entrance. The second passage narrowed dramatically before opening into a smaller chamber dominated by a pool of water, so still it appeared to be glass. The liquid reflected the blue light from the walls, casting rippling patterns across the stone ceiling. "The moon pool," Kiona announced. "Sacred water that connects to underground springs throughout shifter territories." At the far side of the pool stood an ornate stone door, covered in symbols similar to those in the Ancestors' Circle. A small indentation in its center was precisely the size and shape of Melly's pendant. "The inner chamber lies beyond," Kiona said, "where the ritual must be performed." A tremendous crash echoed from somewhere behind them, followed by shouts and growls that sounded much closer than the surface. "They've broken through the defenses," Talon said grimly, positioning himself at the chamber entrance. "We won't have much time." Melly approached the stone door, pendant in hand. "What exactly will happen in there? The ancestors will judge the worthiness of your claim and the strength of your restored bond," Kiona explained. "If they find both sufficient, they will channel the power of the prophecy into both you and Chaska, creating balance. If not, Damien claims it all," Melly finished. "Worse," Kiona corrected. "If the ritual fails mid-process, the power will corrupt, poisoning the bloodlines of both packs for generations." Melly hesitated, doubt suddenly overwhelming her. "Our bond, it's stronger, but not fully restored. What if it's not enough?" "That is the risk we take," Kiona said simply. "But I believe in what I've witnessed between you. True mate bonds are rare, and they don't break without purpose." Before Melly could respond, an agonizing pain tore through her chest. She gasped, doubling over as the sensation ripped along her bond with Chaska. Even without seeing, she knew Damien had landed a devastating blow. "Chaska," she whispered, tears springing to her eyes. Through their connection, she felt his determination waver as pain and blood loss weakened him. The sounds of fighting grew closer, Damien's forces pushing through toward the moon pool chamber. "Now or never," Talon called from his position. "Whatever you're going to do, do it fast." With sudden clarity, Melly pressed the pendant into the door's indentation. "I need to get to Chaska, our bond. It won't be strong enough if we're separated." During the ritual, the moment the pendant connected with the stone, blue light erupted across the door's surface, tracing every carved symbol. The massive stone began to move, sliding sideways to reveal a passage bathed in brilliant silver light. "Go," Kiona urged. "I will hold the door. Bring him to the heart chamber. The ancestors will recognize their true alpha." "How?" Melly demanded. "He's fighting Damien hundreds of feet above us." Kiona smiled mysteriously. "The caves connect to the alpha's mind when blood is spilled on sacred ground. Call to him through your bond. Show him the way." Melly closed her eyes, focusing on the fragile connection between them. Instead of merely sending emotions as they had been doing, she projected an image. The door, the light, herself waiting. "Chaska, come to me. Follow our bond." The response was immediate. Pain, confusion, then understanding. Through his eyes, she glimpsed the battlefield, saw Damien advancing on his wounded form, felt his desperate determination. "He's coming," she whispered, opening her eyes. "But Damien is pursuing." "Then we prepare," Talon said grimly, drawing his weapons. "Go into the chamber. We'll hold them here as long as possible." Melly squeezed his shoulder in gratitude before stepping through the doorway into blinding silver light. As her eyes adjusted, she gasped in wonder. The inner chamber was perfectly circular, its walls made of a crystalline substance that amplified, the light emanating from a central dais. The floor was inlaid with the same symbol that had been marked over their hearts. the moon and wolf's eye combined. Above, instead of stone, the ceiling appeared to be a window directly to the night sky. The full moon perfectly centered. How this was possible so deep underground, Melly couldn't comprehend. But the magic was palpable here. Ancient and pure, vibrating through her very bones. In the center of the dais stood a shallow basin filled with what appeared to be liquid, moonlight. Beside it lay an ornate silver dagger, its handle carved with symbols of both packs. She approached reverently, understanding instinctively what the ritual required. Blood freely given. The mate bond acknowledged and restored. The ancient power accepted not for dominance but for balance. A commotion from the passage made her turn. Sounds of fierce combat echoed through the stone door, Talon and the others fighting desperately. Then, cutting through the chaos, a familiar presence surged toward her. Chaska burst through the doorway, bloodied and partially shifted, his eyes wild until they found her. Relief flooded their bond as he staggered toward her. Melly, he gasped, reaching for her. Damien, he's right behind me. No sooner had the words left his mouth than another figure appeared in the doorway. Damien, his form more beast than man, blood streaking his fur and a triumphant snarl distorting his features. Too late, he growled, stepping into the sacred chamber. The power will be mine. You don't understand what you're interfering with, Melly warned, stepping protectively in front of the wounded Chaska. This ritual requires balance, a true mate bond. Without it, the power corrupts. Superstitious nonsense, Damien sneered, advancing slowly. Power is power, and I've sacrificed too much to claim it. Behind him, Kiona appeared in the doorway, her ancient face set in lines of determination. The ancestors reject your claim. Damien Silverclaw. Blood taken by force has no place in sacred ritual. The ancestors are dead, he snarled, and their power lies unguarded for those bold enough to take it. With shocking speed, he lunged for the dais. Chaska intercepted him despite his injuries, the two alphas crashing to the ground in a tangle of fur and blood. But Damien's blood-enhanced strength proved overwhelming. He threw Chaska aside, the wounded alpha slamming against the crystalline wall with bone-crushing force. Through their bond, Melly felt Chaska's consciousness waver. Panic surged through her as she realized how close he was to succumbing to his injuries. The ritual, Kiona called urgently from the doorway. Complete it now. Melly grabbed the silver dagger from beside the basin. Without hesitation, she sliced her palm, allowing her blood to drip into the luminous liquid. It pulsed in response, the silver light turning faintly red. Chaska, she called, both aloud and through their bond. I need your blood. He stirred, fighting through pain to focus on her. Understanding flashed between them. Damien realized their intent too late. No, he roared, lunging toward Melee. But Kiona stepped into his path, her frail form suddenly suffused with power. You shall not pass, she declared, her voice overlaid with dozens of others, the ancestors speaking through her. Melee ran to Chaska, helping him to his feet. Together they staggered to the basin, where he weakly extended his hand. She sliced his palm with the dagger, their blood mingling as it dripped into the luminous liquid. The moment their combined blood touched the basin's contents, the chamber erupted in blinding light. The symbol beneath their feet began to glow, matching the marks over their hearts, which burned with sudden intensity. Speak the words, Kiona called over the growing hum of power that filled the chamber. The words carved above the basin. Melee looked up, seeing ancient script etched into the stone above the dais. Somehow she understood it perfectly, as did Chaska. Together, they spoke words that seemed to come from their very souls rather than their memories. Blood freely, given, hearts freely bound. What was broken now restored, what was lost now found. We stand in balance, neither above the other, power shared in trust and love.
by the witness of ancestors and the light of the full moon, we claim our rightful place as guardians of both bloodlines. The basin's contents began to rise, forming a swirling column of light between them. Their bond flared with unprecedented strength, not merely restored but transformed into something new, deeper, more resilient, infused with the ancient magic of the sacred place. Across the chamber, Damien broke free from Kiona's mystical barrier.
"No," he howled, charging toward them. "It's mine. The prophecy is mine to fulfill."
But he was too late. The column of light expanded suddenly, engulfing Meili and Chaska completely. Through their bond, they experienced a profound transformation, knowledge and power flowing into them from countless generations of shifters. They saw through each other's eyes, felt through each other's hearts, their separate identities momentarily dissolving into perfect union. The light spread outward, filling the chamber. When it reached Damien, he screamed, not in pain but in rage as he felt the power he'd sought for so long slipping beyond his grasp. In desperation, he lunged for the basin, plunging his hands into the remaining liquid.
"I claim this power by right of blood and strength."
"No," Kiona cried, "not without balance." Too late. The basin's contents surged up Damien's arms, but instead of the silvery glow that had enveloped Meili and Chaska, darkness spread through the luminous liquid, turning it black as it crawled across his skin. His triumphant expression turned to horror as the corruption reached his chest, spreading through him like poison.
"What's happening?" he gasped, staggering backward.
"Power without balance," Kiona said sadly. "Magic without love's tempering, influence. You sought dominance, and now the power dominates you." Before their eyes, Damien's partially shifted form began to warp. Fur receded, then grew wildly in patches. His bones cracked audibly as they reshaped themselves in chaotic patterns. He fell to his knees, his agonized howl transforming into something that was neither human nor wolf. The light surrounding Meili and Chaska pulsed once more before gradually fading, leaving them standing hand in hand beside the now empty basin. The transformation had healed Chaska's wounds, leaving both of them whole and vibrant with newfound energy. Their bond had been not merely restored but transcended, evolving into something unprecedented. A connection that allowed them to share thoughts, emotions, even physical sensations with perfect clarity. Across the chamber, Damien's transformation continued, his form shrinking and contorting, until, with a final pained whimper, he collapsed to the floor. Where the imposing alpha had stood now huddled a common wolf, not the majestic form of a shifter in wolf form but an ordinary animal, eyes reflecting confusion and loss. "The ancestors have rendered their judgment," Kiona said quietly. "He sought to corrupt the sacred balance, so they removed his human half entirely." Meili approached the trembling wolf cautiously. Through her enhanced senses, she could detect no trace of human consciousness within the animal, only the simple awareness of a true wolf. "Will he remain this way forever?" she asked Kiona. "Until he learns what he refused to accept, that true power lies in balance, not dominance." The ancient seer placed a gnarled hand on the wolf's head. "It may take lifetimes." Talon and the other defenders appeared in the doorway, bloodied but victorious. "The Silverclaw forces are retreating," he reported. "When they felt the power surge, many simply laid down their weapons." "They felt the shift in leadership," Chaska explained, newfound knowledge flowing through him. "The ritual didn't just restore our bond. It officially united our packs under joint leadership." He turned to Meili, taking both her hands in his. Through their enhanced bond, words were almost unnecessary, but he spoke them anyway. "Co-alphas, as it was meant to be. Equal in power, balanced in purpose." The revelation of their new status spread quickly as they emerged from the caves to find the battlefield transformed. Wounded were being tended by healers from both packs, while former enemies stood together, an uncertain truce. Elder Reyna approached them,
her eyes widening as she sensed the change in them. "It's done, then? The ritual succeeded?" "Beyond our expectations," Melly confirmed. "The ancient power has been restored, not to conquer, but to heal." To demonstrate, she extended her hand toward a seriously injured Moonridge warrior. With newfound instinct, she drew on the power flowing through her, directing it toward his wounds. Before astonished eyes, torn flesh knitted together, broken, bones realigned and fused. "This is what the prophecy truly meant," Chaska explained to the gathered shifters. "Not dominance over others, but mastery of our dual nature. The ability to channel our power for healing, for growth, for balance." Kiona emerged from the cave entrance, leading the wolf that had been Damien. "The packs will unite under your leadership," she announced. "As was foretold generations ago, when Moon and Silver joined in blood." She turned to address both packs. "Witness your true alphas, chosen by the ancestors themselves. The divided are united. What was lost is reclaimed." One by one, the shifters knelt, first Moonridge, then Silverclaw, until all acknowledged the new leadership that would guide both packs into the future. As dawn broke over Devil's Ridge, Melly and Chaska stood together, their hands clasped, their bond humming with power and promise. Through suffering and separation, through betrayal and forgiveness, they had found their way back to each other, and in doing so, fulfilled a destiny written in the stars long before their birth. "What happens now?" Melly asked softly, though their bond already showed her glimpses of the path ahead. Chaska smiled, lifting their joined hands. "We heal what's broken. In our packs, in the land, in ourselves. We teach our people that true strength lies in balance, not dominance, and we make sure the mistakes of the past aren't repeated in the future. Together," she said, the word carrying the weight of promise. "Always," he replied, sealing their renewed commitment with a kiss as the first rays of sun transformed the battlefield into a place of new beginnings. Around them, members of both packs began the process of building bridges long thought impossible, guided by the example of their alphas who had traversed the most difficult bridge of all, from betrayal to forgiveness, from brokenness to wholeness, from isolation to unity. And beneath Devil's Ridge, in the sacred caves where it all began, ancient spirits settled into contented silence, their purpose fulfilled at last. The prophecy had come to pass, not as conquest, but as healing. The divided were united. What was lost was reclaimed. Moonlit redemption, hard won and precious, had been achieved.